With open arms, and I'm going through a lot of transition. I'm in a new place, a new church, a new job. I got a new roommate, and you know, I'm just having a lot of change, and I'm just so thankful that y'all have welcomed me with open arms, and I just could not ask for a better church family. And of course, I would like to thank my husband. I would like to say thank you for believing in me, encouraging me, supporting me, and loving me. Could not do this without him. So if you have your Bibles, we are going to read from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. And then I'm also going to read through Matthew chapter 24, not the whole chapter, so don't get scared on me. So verses 7 through 9, Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read the KJV and the NLT version. So here we go, chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whosoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. The NLT, those same passages of scripture, it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 through 42. Give you a second to get there. Matthew 24, 40 through 42. It says, then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. If you could bow your heads. Dear Jesus, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to be before this amazing congregation. Lord, I ask that you will just till our hearts, God, and let it be good ground for your word to fall on, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you have for us. Speak through me and use me to speak to your people, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. So I'm not going to take much of your time tonight, but I do want to talk about these scriptures. I found it very interesting in Matthew that there were two in the field and there were two at the grinding mill. I found it really interesting, so I dug out my Apostolic Study Bible and I was reading through the commentary trying to figure out more about this. And what it said, it kind of caught my attention. It said, the men in the field and the women at the millstone are seen following the routine of their lives. And so I want to emphasize on this word routine. It's their day-to-day, their daily grind. They were just doing what they needed to do to get things done. And it went on to say, though some are depicted as living in a constant state of readiness, all are taken by surprise. In each instance, the people share common tasks, but there is something that distinguishes them from their counterparts. There are those who wait for the warning signs to give them cues to get ready, and there are those for whom readiness is simply routine. Only the latter have truly taken Christ's call to the kingdom seriously from the start. So I'm going to make a very bold statement tonight, okay? Revival is no longer coming to Heaven View Pentecostal Church. I thought I might get a few eyebrows raised there, a little pause for dramatic effect. But revival is no longer coming because revival is already here. Amen? Revival is here. And because revival is here, we must be ready not only as a church body, but as individuals in Christ. Now, I want you to hang with me because I'm going to divert a little bit, okay? So I'm going to tell you a story. And this story is about a tree. Now, Michael Paul will know the tree that I'm talking about. I don't believe the Browns will, but they were recently at Urshan. So in St. Louis, there's a college, and it's called Urshan College. That's where I went. That's where I met my husband. That's where he went. Before that, it used to be called Gateway College of Evangelism. Brother Daniel's back there giving me a fist pump. But it's this beautiful campus in St. Louis, and it's a Bible school. And it actually used to be, it belonged to the Catholic Church. It was a monastery, and they built that thing by hand. It's gorgeous. It's got red brick buildings. There's a white stone building. There's marble staircases. There's stained glass windows. It is gorgeous. And there's life all around the campus. There's a grove with oak trees that you can take a path and you can walk through. There's bushes with flowers. The landscape is so pretty. And there's these other trees that have like white flowers in the springtime. I mean, it's just gorgeous. And right in the center, nestled in this beautiful campus, there's a courtyard. And this courtyard is one of my favorite places. This is a picture of it. This is the college campus that I graduated from, and I love it dearly. And this isn't the best picture, but in the center of that courtyard, there's a tree. You can see this tree. I don't think it was a cherry blossom tree, but it kind of looked like that, because in the spring when it bloomed, the flowers are so thick on that tree, you can't even see the branches. It is so pretty. And there's benches there, and there's picnic tables there. So at any given time, you can see people eating lunch out there if the weather's good, or you can see people reading a book with the cool breeze, with the flower. I mean, it's just heaven on earth. I love that place. And so, you know, the seasons come and go. You know, you have spring, everything's alive, it's thriving. Summer comes, everything's really green. And then fall comes. And so everything loses its leaves. You know, things start falling. You got orange and red, and it's pretty and stuff. But let me just tell y'all, I'm from Mississippi. I do not do snow. I do not do ice. I don't even really like the fall, because fall is freezing up north, okay? And I just, you know, winter came, and that was just not a good time in my life, okay? Let me just tell y'all, it was very terrible. I hate winter, but you know, every season's for a purpose, amen? So I'm trying to, you know, get used to the winter, but everything is dead. Everything looks hopeless. I'm miserable. I was probably depressed because I hate winter that much. We're all cooped up in our dorm rooms, and this is how bad it was. We got a snow day, and everybody lives on campus. What? What is that? We all live there. Like, how do you get a snow day? But apparently the professors couldn't get in or whatever. So anyways, winter comes, and, you know, I push through, plow through. I just do my best to get through it, and then spring comes, and now I'm excited because spring is my favorite time of year, and everything's coming back to life after this long, miserable winter. And you know, you get green here and green there and a flower here and a flower there, and everything's coming to life except the tree. And you know, nobody really said anything at first. We're like, maybe it's a late bloomer, you know, we'll just kind of figure it out. So, you know, nobody really says anything. But as time goes by, like, there's no green, there's no flower, there's nothing. And we're getting really bummed because this is our favorite place. It's the most beautiful tree on the whole campus. And everything else around it was blooming. Every other tree had flowers. All the other bushes had flowers. There's wildflowers in the back field. What is happening? But what had happened is during the winter, the tree looked like everything else around it. It had sprung to life that spring. It had been green that summer. Everything else had done the same thing. It went dormant in the winter, just like all the other trees. But when it came time to bloom, nothing happened. Because under the surface, even though it looked like everybody else, it had the same amount of sunshine as everybody else, it had the same amount of rain as everybody else, it had the same amount of snow, the same amount of ice, the same temperatures, it had died underneath the surface, and nobody knew it until it came time to bloom. And we were devastated, and it was in this nice little brick planter, so they cut the tree down. They dug out all the dirt, and they put a fire pit in there. And so this evening, I want to talk to you based on that story of the tree and the scriptures that I read. Don't die in a box. Don't die in a box. So from now on, I'm going to go kind of quickly, because I just, like I said, I just want to share my heart with you. But at Heaven View, we are blessed. We are a blessed church. Yes, we are. We live in a spiritually rich environment, having Heaven View as our church. We have an incredible pastor. We have an awesome ministry team. We have amazing Sunday school teachers. We have various places where we're serving smaller congregations. We're blessing other churches. We have a youth group that is absolutely on fire. And the more I get to know our young people, the more I'm just blown away, not only by their dedication and their commitment to living for God, but also to serving God. They just love it, and they can't get enough, and they're involved in every aspect of the church. You know, we have incredible teams that I'm looking out across this congregation and on this platform that we're all involved in. We have ministries like life groups, serving our generation. We have an awesome usher team. We have CIA teams. We have Martha Ministries. We have greeters. I mean, like, it doesn't, like, we are all involved in some aspect of ministry. How amazing is that? The list doesn't end. And as a new member of Heaven View, I'm kind of overwhelmed at all these opportunities to get involved and to be side by side ministering and serving and giving with y'all and with our pastor. It's just amazing. And I just want to take a moment. If you are a guest here tonight, welcome to the best church I've ever been to, okay? If you are visiting, I've only been here a few months, but I can say with confidence you can find what you are looking for here, okay? So that's just a little side note. But this place is a safe place. It's spiritually saturating. We frequently see people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And believe it or not, some churches go months and even years without seeing that ever. Some countries go months and years without seeing that ever. We are blessed because we see that on a regular weekly basis. You know, and this place is a blessing because we give. And because we give, we send out others. And because we send out others, we get reports of miracles, signs, wonders, baptisms, infilling of the Holy Ghost. We are blessed. But there's always a but. We must be very cautious, because sometimes we can be so blessed that we ourselves can set ourselves on cruise control. We can get on autopilot. We know what to do, and we know when to do it. We know when to clap, we know when to stand, and we know when to shout amen at the right time. Amen. We must be so careful, because what would happen if we got so comfortable in the constant presence of God and we become immune to God? How sad would that be? And now I want to take just a moment, and I want to pause before I cut to the chase, because after this is going to go real quick, and that's kind of a good thing, you know, we'll get out of here. But I just want to say up front that this message is just a gentle reminder, and it's just a little caution before Heaven View takes off in what will be one of the greatest revivals that we have ever seen. We're already starting to roll, and it's only going to get faster and faster and bigger and greater. I believe our church is reaping what we have sown in giving and sowing and aiding smaller congregations and giving to missions and putting our hands to the plow, but greater is coming. Amen? Do you believe me? I know it's Wednesday. Okay, greater is coming. So in that whirlwind of revival that is getting ready to settle over this place, we're going to be blowing and going, but in that, we cannot neglect our own personal relationship with Jesus. The winds of revival for Heaven View will not be enough for when you stand alone before God. I don't want to be one of the ones who is knocking at the door saying, Lord, I prophesied in your name. Lord, I've cast out devils. Lord, I've done a great work. But then he says, depart from me because I never knew you. revival is an amazing time, but it's also a critical time for our saints and for our families. I was so convicted by this message, and I want you to know, I promise you, I'm not casting stones, I'm not pointing fingers. I preached this message in my mirror to myself first before I got up here. And then Michael walked in on me, and that was awkward because he thought I was talking to myself. So I had to kick him out. But I just want to say this in love, and I just want to remind you, please don't die in a box. Don't get caught up in doing the work of God, but forgetting the God of the work. All right, so now I'm just going to cut to the chase. Are y'all with me? All right. So, of course, God moves on us during services. The altars are filled. God has given us incredible promises. God has given our pastor incredible vision. I've only been here a few months, but I can already see that the hand of God is on this place and in its people. But if our only sowing is in this sanctuary on Sunday, in that chapel on Monday for prayer, or on a Wednesday night Bible study, what kind of fruit will we produce? What are we sowing in our own personal prayer time, in our own personal devotions, in our own fasting? What are we doing? Are we praying and studying outside of preparing for the next lesson? Are we sowing seeds of witness in our neighborhoods or our schools or our workplaces? What are we sowing into this body of believers outside of these four walls? I know we are a busy people. I took one look at the church calendar when I showed up here and I said, oh Lord, help me. I got real nervous real quick because that thing was full. It's like, oh Jesus, let's go. Buckle up. I'm ready. I know what it's like to be busy. I'm a newlywed, getting used to the whole thing, the whole new area. I got my GPS to get me wherever I need to go. The only place I can get to without a GPS is the church and Chick-fil-A. That's all you need, right? But really, like, I have to use my GPS for everything, except for those two. Those were a priority, you know? But when Michael and I were dating long distance, he was always at the church. So I get it. You're involved and you're plugged in. I'm with you. I'm right there. I'm ready to go. Give me the gloves, Sister Peggy. I'll go scrub the toilets if I need to. Whatever you need, I'll do it. But involved and plugged in does not replace a relationship with Jesus. What would happen if we sow seeds only in the altars praying for people, because that looks good, but we don't take time to take them out to coffee and clear our schedules and be there to talk to them and answer questions? We are called to make disciples, but who are we discipling? We are all busy, I get it, but busyness does not replace communion with the Almighty. What if we have everything together in here, but don't have it together in here? God has graciously given us revival in this city, but how sad would it be if in pouring out on Winston, we lose out with him? How sad would it be if we looked like everything was fine, we looked promising, we were involved, you're here when you need to be, but when it comes time to bloom, when it comes time to step up into a new area of ministry, we've perished under the surface and no one even knew. So the question you may be wondering is how? How do we die in a place like this? If we're so involved, if we're so busy, how in the world can we die? What are you even talking about? Well, I'm talking about we're going to reap what we sow. The good, the bad, the lukewarm. Personally and publicly. We can't hide a failing personal devotion behind a revival church. I'll just let that soak in. You can't hide your failing personal devotional life behind a revival church. So how this works is, when you begin to die in a place like this, you've started to build a wall without realizing it, okay? You do that by isolating yourself from the body, by isolating yourself from what you should be doing. You stop praying, there's a brick. You stop fasting, there's a brick. You stop reading the Word of God, there's a brick. We start to develop a little pride, there's a brick. We begin to lower our standards or maybe this boundary doesn't matter, or maybe that one doesn't brick. And we build this wall around ourselves, and we've completely cut ourselves off without even realizing it. Busyness can make us drop our guard, and before you know it, we're making excuses. I'm tired. I'm so involved, Pastor will understand why I'm not there. I have a headache. You miss a Monday night prayer here, and you only attend Wednesdays on occasion, or Sunday school becomes an option, and then before you know it, you'll find yourself not attending at all. It's easy to die in a box. It's easy to build a wall. That'll never be me, you're thinking. Or you may be rolling your eyes at me. If you're rolling your eyes, I'm talking to you, okay? All right. So when your guard begins to drop, when you become easily offended, that's when you should be worried. I would like for everybody to imagine someone you grew up with. If you grew up in this, imagine someone that went to church with you, believed like you, was just as involved like you. They were someone who used to be in the presence of God in the same service as you were in, but they built that wall. They isolated themselves and they died under the surface, and today they no longer live for God. It happens. After isolating ourselves, after suffocating ourselves, we can die in secret. And you can hide it for a little while, but eventually what you have sown becomes what you will reap. What has been planted under the surface begins to grow and produce in public. And there are only two outcomes, life or death. That's what the word says. You're going to produce life or you're going to produce spiritual death. Every day my senior year at Urshan College, I would walk by that courtyard and I would be reminded that box that once held something that flourished, and now all it holds are ashes. It's very possible to die in a box. It's very possible to slip away during revival. It's very possible to get caught up but lose your soul. If you would stand and if musicians would come. In closing, I just want to say I don't want any of us to die in a box. Not here, not one of us, not during one of the greatest revivals Heavenview or North Carolina has ever seen. One day, when Michael Paul and I have children, I don't want to go to the grocery store and be strolling with my buggy and running into one of you and saying, baby, they used to go to Heavenview. They used to sing in the choir. They used to be the best Sunday school teacher. They used to cook the best dish at the church picnic. Or they used to be the best preacher on this side of the Mississippi. I don't want to tell my kids that. So I wonder, as we begin to open these altars, is there anyone who would come and just reevaluate? God, what am I sowing? What is going on in my prayer life behind closed doors? What am I planting into my life, my ministry, my family? As revival comes to our church, will I bloom, or will all that's left in my heart be ashes because I died in a box? Dear Jesus, have your way in this place right now, God. Lord, let us reevaluate ourselves. Lord, let us not get so caught up in doing your work that we forget to sit at your feet, Jesus. Lord, convict us, draw us near to you, God, because there's nothing without you. The numbers don't matter. Nothing matters but a relationship with you, Jesus. Just have your way.